Golden Globe voters have already voiced their opinions on last year's offerings. The results will be revealed tonight. Familiar names from the big and small screens dominate the list of nominees. Wedged in somewhere between TV favorites like Sex and the City and Will and Grace sits a program called The Office. A huge hit in England, the BBC comedy enjoys a modest yet devoted audience here on the BBC America cable channel. The show's creator, writer, and star is Ricky Gervais. He plays David Brent, an ineffective middle manager at a paper company in the industrial London suburb of Slough. His life plays out in front of a documentary film crew, and Brent spends most of his time trying to convince them that he's more competent than he actually is. In fact, David Brent's proclivity toward the inappropriate and downright offensive always seems to betray his best intentions.
We'll kick off with your leader, David Brent. David, if you'd like to come up here.
Right, I want us to play out a scenario that highlights customer care.
Okay.
I'm going to play, and this will be the wrong way to do it, I'm going to play a very bad hotel manager who just doesn't care. Okay, you've got a complaint. You come and complain, and I'll show you the wrong way to handle it. This will be the wrong way.
Okay.
Right, so off we go.
Okay. I'd like to make a complaint, please.
Don't care.
Well, I am staying in the hotel.
I don't care, it's not my shift.
Well, you're an ambassador for the hotel.
I don't care.
I think you'll care when I tell you what the complaint
I don't care.
Is. I think there's been a rape up there. I got his attention. Get their attention. Okay?
Right, so, well, some interesting points.
Very interesting points.
Flagged up there. It's not quite the point I was trying to make.
Different
David.
Points to be made.
I'm more interested really in customer care.
So am I.
That's actor Vincent Franklin, momentarily stunned by the offensive yet clueless David Brent, played by Ricky Gervais. During a recent conversation with Gervais about his two surprising Golden Globe nominations for The Office, he said that he had no professional acting experience before the BBC signed him. And the David Brent character was originally nothing more than a half-baked idea that turned into an amateur short film.
It was a sketch character called CD Boss, and I just sort of started. I'd started on radio, and I'd written a couple of things for other comedians that they'd bought, and it was a hobby. I mean, it really was a hobby. And Stephen, my writing partner,
Stephen Merchant.
Stephen Merchant, yeah. He was actually working for BBC when we shot it, so it was sort of nice and cosy and in-house, and we got it to the right people. So that was, you know, I suppose a bit of luck, right place, right time, and all that.
Describe the character of David Brent to people who haven't been able to see this show yet.
He's a tall, 25-year-old, handsome man. What are you laughing at? he's a middle manager going through a midlife crisis, and he's showing off in front of the cameras. We're making the conceit is it's a documentary. And when I had this character, we'd had a big spate of reality game shows and docu-soaps where ordinary people were getting their Andy Warhol 15 minutes of fame. And so Brent's going straight for the jugular, and everything he does, he thinks that someone's going to say, give this guy his own chat show. And of course, every other sentence is a faux pas or a piece of pop psychiatry that means nothing, or a desperate attempt to be loved and popular. We all wake up and we go, oh, I ache. I'm not 18 anymore, you know. I'm 30 now, I'm in my 30s, I'm not... But, so what, at least I've got my health. And if you haven't got your health, if you've got one leg, at least I haven't got two legs missing. And if you have lost both legs and both arms, just go, at least I'm not dead. I'd rather be dead in that situation, to be honest. I'm not saying people like that should be, you know, put down. I'm saying that in my life, I'd rather not live without arms and legs because, you know, I'm just getting into yoga, for one thing, so... He's not a bad man. He's a desperate fool. And as I say, he's free-falling. He is going through a bit of a midlife crisis, and he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know whether to get on with a job and do well and get respect that way, or dance around like a mad chicken and get respect that way. He opts for the latter. And it doesn't work.
He is the boss of this paper company, Wernham Hogg. In the DVD of the first season, there is a newsletter that ostensibly is put out as kind of an inter-office thing at Werner Hogg. Yeah. And in it, David Brent, the character that you play, the boss, apologizes in the column for saying that cannabis should be given to anorexics so that they get the munchies. And he says, this is a satirical joke not meant to offend. Every joke that David Brent tells is offensive.
Well, it is. Now, the of course, and the real irony there is that he's sort of learnt political correctness, but he's got it slightly wrong. He'll go up to a black guy and start talking about Sidney Poitier because he desperately wants to say, look, I'm not racist. Look, I like Bob Marley. And he's nervous. He's nervous around all the isms. He's not really racist or sexist or homophobic, but he wants people to know he isn't, and he can't really cope with it. So he lets himself down. He's not a clever enough man, that's all, really. His heart's in the right place. I mean, his worst crime is that he's confused, I don't know, popularity with respect.
No, I don't have a great many ethnic employees, that's true, but it's not company policy. I haven't got a sign on the door that says white people only, you know. I don't care if you're black, brown, yellow. You know, Orientals make very good workers, for example.
What do you gain in terms of humor by doing it in this way, having the film crew recording? I mean, it's sort of like what, you know, This Is Spinal Tap did for heavy metal rock.
Well, that's a big influence. That's a big influence on me. The camera basically sucks you into it. My favourite comedy of all time is probably Laurel and Hardy. And I love the way that when Ollie, through no fault of his own, ended up face down in a pond, the first thing he'd do was, after he'd spat out the water, was look straight down the lens. And he was sort of saying to us, what can I do? And you suddenly realise that you're caught in his world. I like the way that Brent just looks down the lens and you suddenly realise he's a real man who's been caught. And it's just made his pain worse. You're sharing with him.
Were you surprised that The Office gained an American audience and a pretty devoted one?
I'm surprised at how big The Office was in England in terms of ratings, but I'm not surprised that some Americans liked it, and I'll tell you why. All my influences are American. As I said, from Laurel and Hardy, The Simpsons is the greatest TV show of all time, Spinal Tap was a direct influence, Larry Sanders is one of the greatest sitcoms. All my influences are American. It looks quintessentially English because it's parochial and we use English accents, but hopefully the themes and the style, even directorially, the style, I think is probably more American than English.
You're adapting The Office for an American television production, and with some subtle, you know, British humor, although with American influences. American comedy in some ways isn't really known for its subtleties. I mean, you can sort of see the punchlines that are being set up. Are you going to make changes in your approach for the American version? What do you think you might have to change?
There's loads of answers here, I'm afraid. firstly, I'm not going to make changes. This is not my baby. I've handed this over. I haven't got 1% of the level of involvement, obviously, I had on the English one. I was there in a consultancy sort of capacity, and we chose Greg Daniels to write it, who's amazing. I think that it will be changed, of course, because it is a network picking it up. So I don't think they can afford it to be too obscure, too slow, too subtle, too dark. But then I don't think The Office is that obscure and subtle and dark. I think it takes about 3 minutes to get used to. And then when you know what you're watching, it's as easy to watch as anything, really. It's as easy to watch as a soap.
Your involvement with the American version, if it's limited, that means you won't play David in the American version.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I was asked, and I don't think that's a good idea at all. We're looking for people that bring their own shtick to the table. We don't want someone doing an impression of me. You know, we don't just want another 40-year-old fat bloke touching his tie. We've done that.
How did you find out you received the Golden Globe nomination?
About 25 texts from various people.
Text messages on your...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't realise what quite a big thing it was, because people were saying, this is amazing. And I was very flattered, but I was thinking, well yeah, but we won't win. But then the thing that I was most happy about was the fact that I think it's the first time a British version of a sitcom and a British actor in a British sitcom has been nominated. So that's quite impressive.
I wonder, you know, have you ever been up the red carpet before? How are you preparing for it? Are you, you know, kind of practicing getting out of the limo?
I don't like that sort of thing. I feel so self-conscious, and even the word celebrity is mildly embarrassing to me. The good thing is that no one knows who I am. They probably think I'm a waiter. So I'm going to wear a red jacket, and then I think the people will leave me alone, definitely. I'm looking forward to some anonymity again, because I can't even go shopping for pants now without people looking in my basket. So it's great. I'm a nobody in America, and it'll feel brilliant.
Ricky Gervais, he's the co-creator and star of The Office, seen in the United States on BBC America. He's been nominated for 2 awards at tonight's Golden Globes. He spoke with us from our London bureau. For an extended version of the interview, go to our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.